It's been an eventful week. One of the things that I wanted to, many of you probably saw it on Facebook, that we'll go ahead and make official. Hutton Woods asked Jordan Elizabeth Gray to be his wife.
One less mouth to feed.
So, Hutton's off working, so if he's watching my live feed, I hope you know what you're getting into.
Glory to God. He came to me and he said, and we're talking, and he asked, and I said, two things. You better make a lot of money because it ain't cheap being Jordan. I said, and if she ever needs a whipping, I'm the guy to do it, not you.
Amen, amen.
Some more news we had. Actually, I've got a little bit of news. Erica had a relapse, and she's back at Teen Challenge, where she needs to be right now. And then we're partnering with Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas, and with a church in Los Angeles. We're building a church in Mozambique in an all-Islamic neighborhood. There's been some missionaries going in there, and it's just taken off. And a hurricane came through, and a real hurricane, not one where you're in Shreveport, Louisiana, and get a half an inch of rain, but a real hurricane. Michael said he was in Kroger last night, and the shelves were empty. We're supposed to get a half an inch of that much rain. I saw. Anyway, and it tore down the church, and when they went back and they tried to build it with mortar from the dirt that they had there, and during the rains it collapsed it again, so we were going to build a concrete one. And so we're in partnership with Christ for the Nations and C3 Los Angeles, and we're getting that done. Man, what else is going just so good right now? I'm telling you. I was looking at Facebook yesterday, and I know this person. I'm not going to say who he is, but she saw this picture of flooding, and she said, you know, it's a shame that we live in Louisiana. Sometimes you have to put up with hurricanes, but it's worth it. She lives in Jonesboro. Don't know where she took the pictures, but it wasn't in New Orleans. I just, you'll have a low attendance, you know, when there's a hurricane 5 hours away. If it's doing 70 miles an hour, you know. A half an inch of rain. It cracks me up. Man, Greg said, I'm going to have five employees call in from flooding, you know. Hey, let me get started, my goodness. I could pick on Barry all day. If I get off him, I'd get on Barry Sanders. You know, I could pick on Barry all day long. But you know, we need to be in prayer for those people that are in the hurricane, the tropical storm, you know, and pray for those that think they are and are not. I'm thinking about leaving and going. I'm leaving in the morning. I hope the hurricane doesn't shut down the Shreveport Airport. Oh, my gosh. Well, then we'll fill right in. And Ginger and I are going on vacation. We're going to New York for a week or a few days, and then we're going over there to Cooperstown, the National Baseball Hall of Fame. A dear friend of mine, he got elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we're going over there to celebrate with him, and then we're coming home. So, anyway, with all of that being said, in academia, you know, and you know, people that in that philosophers, things like that. The big deal is, what is the meaning of life? You know, they need to not philosophize and just simplify. The meaning of life is to have a purpose. That's it. We are born for a purpose. We're born to a purpose. And when you're born again, that purpose doesn't change. You are created the way you're created for that purpose, not by accident. God doesn't do anything on accident. He does everything on purpose, correct? He does it on purpose. Hell, see? What we need to do is just to simplify things. We know what Jeremiah 29:11 is. That's the youth number one scripture in youth. 29:11, a plan for your life. You got a plan for your life, you got a purpose for your life. The deal is, you got to get enough prayer and fasting to find out what that purpose is, what that plan is. You with me? All right. In the New Living Translation, Psalms 57:2, it says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill whose purpose? His purpose for me. See, it's not necessarily your purpose. It's His purpose that He's trusting you to get done. When we look at that like that, we're like the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. You know? You know, it's His purpose for the world to be done through these hands, through this mouth, through these legs. That's the way the purpose works. It's not mine, it's His for me. When we can get to that point to say, you know, the greatest blessing that we could ever have is to fulfill His purpose through me, in me, for me, whatever the case may be. But anyway, what I wanted to do today is I wanted to take some and teach you how to live a more successful life than you do. You see, we hear about the people in the Bible, you know. We hear about, you know, how did Peter do more than Thomas or you know, how is it that the book of Acts is split into two places? Peter's leadership and then Paul's leadership. Why is it that these people were lifted up and there were so many more called and chosen, but they answered the call? They got the thing done. Why is it that Moses, the guy that had a problem with his speech, how is it that he was the great deliverer when there was many more qualified, certified, better equipped to do it? Why is it that Elijah is the most powerful prophet there ever was, other than Jesus, because he stood in all five of the fivefold ministry? But why is it that he's going to be, the spirit of Elijah is going to come back? You know, why is it how is it that they got there and I didn't? If you want to be the best God has you to be, you need to follow the pattern of the people that did the most. Does that make sense to you? All right. I'm fixing my comment and then y'all can leave. The wilderness is necessary for your success. You got to go to that cold, you got to go to that dry spot. You got to get there. Name somebody that did something awesome in the Bible that didn't have a wilderness encounter, or I like to call it a wilderness adventure. There isn't one. Elijah, God said, you need to go up there to that creek over there, and I'm going to send you some food, and that creek's not going to run dry. Well, that's where the blessing was. If he'd have gone a different route, he would have starved. But he went to where God told him to be, and he was alone there for a long, 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 long time. He had to get alone so he could hear from God. So in the wilderness that you choose to go into, or the wilderness that God is bringing you to, whichever the case may be, because, you know, you can put yourself in a wilderness place anytime you want to. All you got to do is just start fasting. You say, I'm going to fast for 30 days. Not one of them wimpy fasts. I'm talking about water. You know, you do that. People try to lose weight all the time. I'm telling them, just fast. Fast like Jesus. Dude. Keto didn't have nothing on Jesus. You know, I mean, that dude knew how, you know, but you know, you can put yourself in that place. You can take time to get away, to be alone with God. And through prayer and fasting, things like this, God's going to reveal things to you that you weren't. You didn't have access to. See, Paul had access to things. Peter had access to things. Why? Because they had that adventure. They had that encounter. They had all of those things. It's necessary, if you're going to do something great for the kingdom of God, if His purpose for you, if you get into that wilderness place, you're going to be better when you come out. Another thing is this. You got to know why you're in the wilderness before you're ever delivered. Children of Israel, they didn't know why they were in the wilderness. So therefore, they could not be delivered until they were totally dependent upon God. He was their Walmart. He was their McDonald's. He was their everything, you know. Water flowed out of a stone. I mean, quail and manna, and it was only sufficient for one day. So he's teaching them faith, how to live by faith day by day by day by day by day. And when they got to that, then they could step over into what he promised, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. What's God promised you? Look in the New Testament and see. It's a lot. But you know, sometimes we have to go to a wilderness and understand why we're there before He can deliver us into the place that He has for us. Come on now. If you hungry, you want to be hungry for revelation? There's some here. You can just let it lay there, or you can take a bite of it if you want to. But I'm telling you, this will work in your day-to-day walk with Jesus. This will work immediately. This will work Monday morning. In the wilderness, there is a lack of communications with others who are not like-minded. There's sometimes God's trying to pull you out from a group of people to get you to a place where He can protect you from that and show you how to succeed on your own, being dependent on Him. You know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, I want my friends to be saved and everything. Let me tell you, when I went through a wilderness, man, they didn't want nothing to do with me. We drank a case of beer together every night, you know, and we had, you know, we did, and other stuff too, you know. You know, I mean, all the time. I mean, Ginger said, she said, the worst sound in the world is the sound of a Miller Lite cracking open, because she heard it all night long. Hated it. Anyway, you know, sometimes, you know, God set me apart for service, so therefore He set me apart away from those people. They ran from me. I didn't run from them. I wanted to help them, but they came up with excuses like, well, you know, we don't want you to, you know, fall back. And, you know, I said, no, that's not true. You don't want to be convicted by me, because I'm a living example of what you're supposed to be and you're not. You know, so that was that. A place of wilderness. It's a place of dryness. It's a place of loneliness at times. At first. But when you realize why you're there and you start to commune with God, He's going to fill you with everything you need to be successful. Not average, not mediocre. He wants you to stand above the rest. He wants you to be a peculiar people. Not a strange bunch, just a peculiar people. You know. Well, I've been to a lot of churches, so cereal churches, you know, they're full of nuts and flakes. And then, you know, I've been to some of those. That's not what God's calling us. God's not calling us to weird. God's calling us to a higher purpose, to a higher place. And when we get alone with Him in that wilderness, that we can commune with Him, because we're not communicating with people that aren't putting godly stuff in our conversations. But you're hearing from Him and He's hearing from you, and y'all are communicating. That's when you understand why you're there, and that's when He'll tell you why you're coming out and what you're going to do. I'm preaching way better than y'all are hearing, I promise you. Make sure y'all hit that kiosk card when you're going back, because I'm preaching good, right? I'm joking. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, filled with the Holy Ghost in Damascus, two separate events, two separate places it happened, you know, and road to Damascus, blinded, saved, the barn down by Straight Street, filled with the Holy Ghost. Correct? All right, I got to correct. And
we're just agreeing with you.
Yeah, it's just. He says in Galatians 1:17, I think it is. Yeah. He said, "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." You see, what happened was they didn't want him in Jerusalem. He was still the guy that was trying to kill him in their mind. They didn't know he had a Holy Ghost experience. And if he did, they still didn't want anything to do with him. You know, the Holy Ghost people don't always get along. Some Holy Ghost people will hold it against you what you did before you were saved.
No,
seriously.
No,
you see, so he said, "I went to Arabia," which it's not Arabia now, but in those days it was the Sahara. And he spent 3.5 years, between 3 and 3.5 years, communion with God. Jesus Himself gave him every. That's the reason he wrote 14 books of the New Testament, because church government. I mean, the Pauline epistles, everything. I mean, he taught everything. He laid out the New Testament church till the coming of Christ. You follow me? That was some pretty serious stuff. But all of this happened to him when he was in the, yes, in the wilderness. And when he came out, he knew what his task was to get this into the body of Christ. And Cornelius and Barnabas stood up for him and got him into that inner circle. And once he got in the inner circle, he was the leader. I mean, just boom. Because he knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. That's why I split in two. Peter's leadership, Paul's leadership. You with me? He had to do something. All right. I'll move on to something else, because evidently wilderness is just not your thing. You have to have passion about what you're doing, or you won't have the perseverance to see it through. You have to have passion about what you're doing, or you won't have the perseverance to see it through. Things will come up and you'll back down. If you don't have a passion about it, you won't be willing to die for it.
Right.
More importantly, you won't be able to live for it.
Amen.
Passion is what makes people believable. When they're passionate about something, they speak differently. They act differently. They use their hands more. You know, I mean, you know, they get going. You know, when I get talking about world missions, man, my arms are all over the place. You know what I mean? And people believe, man, about that. Wow, that guy's passionate about that. Why? Because I am. I am passionate about it. That's my purpose. That's my call. That's what I, you know, that's part of what I do. So I'm passionate about it. I love it. There's a burning desire inside me to get things done in the kingdom and to get things done outside of the U.S. as well. That's why I travel so much. It burns in me. I got a definition of passion. It's crazy I found this. I think I lost it. Definition, passion is at its core a pain or fire that has to be quenched. Holy cow. I'll be ministering sometimes, man, and it's physical. You can see it sometimes, but when I'm really in that vein, in that Holy Ghost vein, that healing vein, that God's just moving through His purpose through me, like we started with, I get a visible knot right there. And it hurts. And the only thing that helps it is releasing that anointing and releasing that anointing and releasing that anointing. It's the only thing that works. And my hands sweat profusely. It's just like I'll put slime hands, lay my hands on somebody's hand, and it's like, you know. It's crazy. It is. I mean, anybody ready for prayer? I got a joke for you. What goes 300 miles an hour backwards? All right, let me get back in. Oh. Without passion, you will fail. You cannot succeed without passion in your life. Okay, you gotta have a fun too, but you gotta have passion. I think Greg just went to throw up, didn't he? All right, I'm all right. All right, this is my last point. Okay, this is my last point, and this is just my opinion. This isn't in the Bible. This is just my opinion. People who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world usually do. Right? Mother Teresa, all of this tall, she was in Ireland working in the diocese, and she wanted to go to Calcutta and help the poor. And so she left the Catholic Church to go do this. But she remained a nun, but she left the Catholic Church to go do this. The Archbishop asked her, he said, "You don't have the funding to feed poor people. You'll die yourself over there." And she pulled out, we say they're nickels, but they weren't because they were in Ireland. But she pulled out two nickels and she rubbed them together. And she said, "With these two nickels and Jesus, I can change the world." And she did. They made her a saint. She openly rebuked Bill Clinton in the Oval Office. The woman worked 18-hour days. She had no support. Within a year and a half, the Catholic Church said, you know what, she's getting things done. Maybe we need to get on board with what she's doing. And so they moved to Calcutta, India, and they've never left. And her orphanage is, and all of the works that she did are still going. She just went there because she saw a need, and she believed that she was the person that was assigned to do it. She knew that what her purpose was, and she had passion about it, and she was in a dry space where she was, and she wanted to get into the action, and she went and got right in there. My goodness. She had more influence than the Pope. A woman that didn't weigh 100 pounds that changed the world forever. That's amazing, isn't it? Amy Simple McPherson. Y'all ever heard of her? Amy Simple McPherson was a healing evangelist in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. You're talking about groundbreaking. People didn't listen to women in the 20s, but when they brought the power of God, Betty, when they got sick, they brought their kids up there. They'd come to her meetings. You know? She went through a rough time at the beginning, a dry place. But she founded the Four Square Gospel Church that is operating all over the world now. I've preached in dozens of Four Square churches. She bought a little plot of land in Los Angeles and didn't have any money left. She got a hammer, a nail, and two boards. Took one of the boards and she drove it into the ground. Took the other board and nailed it to it. She said, construction has begun. She built a 5,000-seat auditorium known as the Angelus Temple that still operates today. That woman built the first megachurch in the world. Can't do it without purpose. You can't do it without passion. You can't do it without that wilderness adventure, getting alone in a place with God where God can talk to you and you can talk to Him just like I'm talking to you right now, talking back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's there. There she is. We saw where in Galatians Paul said he went to the Sahara. He was alone with the Holy Ghost, teaching him everything the New Testament church would need to get going in the right direction. Because there were some serial churches out there then, and Paul lined them out. That's what he did. And the man did so much for the body of Christ. We talk about him like he never existed, like this is some story, you know. But this was a guy just like me and you, you know, living, breathing guy that just did what it took to get the job done no matter what happened to him. He didn't care about what happened to himself. He cared about that purpose of God for him to get it into this planet. That's what he wanted to do. That's what drove him. He killed so many Christians, and now his job was to make sure that they were on the right track. How crazy is that? Holy Ghost can make confound the wise. Isn't that right in that scripture? He became the leader of the New Testament church. That's what the wilderness will do for you. It fuels your passion, your purpose, and your perseverance. The wilderness will fuel your passion, your purpose, and your perseverance. Let me ask you this. If a kid from Castor can travel to the globe and preach to hundreds of thousands of people, My gosh, why? What can you do? Got it sticking up? I'm telling you, I'm pretty. I remember I was growing up, there was a Revlon commercial. And these women, you know, and they're all pretty and everything. And said, "Don't hate me because I'm beautiful." Y'all remember that commercial? So, haters gonna hate. But seriously, if I can do that, what can you do? My gosh. I dropped out of college. I was a college dropout and went into the Navy, and then just things, you know. I do have a degree. Don't worry, I went back. I believe that you can get anywhere in the world from where I'm standing. I believe that. I believe that I can. I believe that one person can change a nation for Christ. We did it Graham Baker did it in Papua New Guinea. We did it in Vanuatu. Jerry and Jenna Lackey changed their nation here last Sunday. They changed the nation of Botswana forever. Just said, "Here I am. I'll go." But they had passion, purpose, and perseverance. If they can do all that, what can you do? At the least, be a beacon of hope to a neighbor, a co-worker, somebody that you can be their connection. You can connect them to God and God to them. You can do that. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm done. I don't like to preach a long time if I don't have to, and I think God made His point. And if you didn't get it, watch it. Watch it. Come on, Stephen.